ever told you that I have an anxiety issue?
Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of The Kind, The Creative and The Chaotic with me, your host Kelly Jade, and designated sound guy Wayne Naylor.
Hello everyone. Hi.
I'm so happy to have you here. You're kind of like my own Carl Pilkington vibe. That is a compliment.
Damn. I know. It's just sort of like I've got to live up to that now. It's like, oh, God, shit.
So first of all, I'd like to say thank you to you, the listeners, for tuning in the first place. The fact that you've taken time out of your day to listen to the show is filling me with heaps and heaps of joy. If you can't already tell, I'm pretty excited. So what is this podcast about? Do you know what it's about, Wayne?
I have a vague idea, yes, but I want to know more.
All I'm about to find out now. So I'm guessing you've read the small bio, so you have the gist, but I thought I'd run through it in a little more depth, especially as this is the very beginning of it all to begin. No? Yeah. This is the very first episode.
Yeah, it's the genesis.
This is why I have Wayne here. So the reason I decided to start this podcast, or more the fact that I came up with the idea in the first place, was because I was and still am in a very kind of confused and an up and down place in what I want to do with my life, which is quite relatable for every single human being on the planet, yeah, pretty much. And it's not just the whole money versus happiness situation, but more of like a belief in myself, in the creative business, especially with presenting, hosting and being the face of something fun. Now, while I've had many fabulous opportunities and amazing people to help me out and done some really cool things like red carpets and bucket list things ticked off, last year I decided to take a break from it all. And at first I was very adamant that it was just because of other people. But, you know, in any industry, you get bullies or, you know, backstabbers, fake people, blah, blah, blah.
Enemies.
Enemy, yeah. Enemies. For life. Vendettas. But it seems that entertainment industry is pretty dog eat dog. And I kind of let them get the best of me. Oh, and you know that, Wayne. Yeah. It's a very sad story. Yeah. But now this is the uprising again, coming back. But yes. So I was actually the one that let others and myself get into my own head and affect my own confidence, and in the end removed myself from doing what I loved. Now, of course, being in any situation where you feel like you're being judged or you're disliked, it's harder to stay focused and not let things like anxiety get the best of you, which inevitably affects your performance and then gives those people even more ammunition to make you feel a bit shit and sensitive about yourself. So it all just became a little too much for me. Now, this is where things begin to change. While I was going through this transition and journey with myself, I had a lot of conversations with many friends and co-workers and people like that, that I thought were at the top of the game, fully successful, completely happy. But I realized that I was, in fact, not the only one struggling with issues with the heart and the head. And it kind of blew my mind, because when I was speaking to these people, they just seemed insanely confident to me, but they weren't and they aren't. And they felt the same way that I did. So this gave me the strength and the idea to start this podcast. You know, if they could get me back to a place of feeling like I deserved it and was good enough to go after what I wanted, you know, blocking out the negativity, then I feel like they can do the same for you, the listener. So here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
Was that good? Was that? Did I explain that well?
Yeah,
it's do you been feel like you've well. Been on the journey with me?
No. I felt like I just, you know, I was in the passenger seat, just sort of like riding along the road. Like, man, it's a good ride.
Well, with that in mind, shall we get the show started with the first guest? You ready?
I guess.
Da, 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 da. Today's guest is the uber talented, highly amusing, all round sweetheart, scriptwriter, director, and my sound guy, Mr. Wayne Naylor.
Hi, guys. I apologize in advance for how bad this ropey sound design. It was just like sound technician job is going. First time doing this, my bad. But no. I'll do my best. But yeah, thank you. It's a really, really, really...
This was a good opening, wasn't it?
Yeah. You may have bigged me up a bit too much, though. No. I was like, Jesus Christ, man. That's...
Ooh. It's intense in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you're gassing me up, which I kind of like. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, God, no, the pressure. God.
Well, there we go. This is exactly what this show is about. Are you happy to be my first guest? How does it feel?
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Happy to help you out. Yeah, no, you've helped me out quite a bit in my life. So, yeah, I'm happy to return the favour.
Okay. So, is that the only reason you want to be here? Just to do me a favour?
Nah, like, the idea behind this is really cool and sort of stuff like that. And like when you're sort of describing it and sort of like how everyone's kind of in the same boat with regards to how they feel and sort of like you're always looking at the other person in the other lane thinking, oh, how come this, you know, doing so much better than me, having this so much better than I am? And then it's like, oh, no, wait, we're all kind of the same. But, you know, we don't talk that much about it. So it's cool that there's, you know, you want to create a dialogue with people within your industry. So that's really cool.
Oh, thank you. I just kind of want to get rid of the stigma and make people feel more open to talk about this sort of thing. But back to us in particular. Yeah. So I think we should let the readers know how we know each other, because it was pretty organic.
Yeah, yeah. Because
I always get it wrong, so you can tell this story.
Yeah, so many, many, many years ago.
Eons ago.
Yeah. So there is this comic book convention called MCM that takes place every twice a year in London, and it takes place other places in the UK as well. It takes place in May and October, and I remember it must have been, I think, the May show.
Yeah.
I was sort of doing the usual setup, which effectively, so because if you're not into sort of Comic-Con or have done it before, like there's a whole setup before the day actually happens, which is usually Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so... Yeah, so it's a while. So during the setup, I saw Kelly. I was like, oh, shit, she seems cool. But then we didn't really talk that much. And it was just like, oh, okay, cool. Because like you were off doing video stuff. And I was like, huh.
Yeah, at this point, I'd like to tell everybody that I was dressed up as an anime character. It wasn't just cool, standard cool girl. There was a wig and everything, a whole, what do they call it?
Yeah, you did a cosplay. Like, I was like, damn, you did really well. Really well with it. I was like, okay, cool. But then that weekend passed. Nothing really much happened, fair enough. And then it was Fright Fest, which now knowing Kelly, I'm so shocked that she was even there. Obviously, it was a work thing, but I was like, wow, this is so not your vibe.
I hated it.
I was like, so I was there, and she was kind of like on her own. I was like, oh. And I remember I had seen her, and I didn't really say anything. And I felt kind of bad about that, because I felt kind of rude about that, actually. So I was like, at Fright Fest, and I was like, okay, cool. I'll sort of come and say hello to her. So I introduced myself, and we're talking, and like, you know, she's sort of telling me about the booth and everything like that, and like we hit off, and like she, you know, from the moment I met her, I thought she was really cool. So that came and went. I had each other on Facebook, then didn't speak to each other. We didn't really see each other for another many, many years after that, actually.
Yeah.
And then randomly, I'm going to my cousin's house, which is kind of near hers. And my aunt's house, my aunt's house, not my cousin's house, you know, but my aunt's house, and to see my little cousin. The little tyrant. I love him, but he's a tyrant. But yeah, to go see him. And I just sort of saw her. I was like, oh shit, is that Kelly? Oh shit. And then
when you came over to me, I was like, who the hell is this? Yeah. Who's this creep coming over to me? Don't talk to me. I'm not in the mood today.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, do you remember me, MCM? I was like, oh shit. And then Fright Fest, oh yeah.
Yeah, our voices got higher like that as well.
It totally did. It was really weird.
It's good.
Yeah.
And now here we are.
Yeah.
Working together. Dream team.
Yeah, dream team. Not that Sky One show.
Okay, let's get into TV then. Okay. So, tell listeners what it is that you do in the creative world. I've kind of given you an intro, but, you know, you're a director and a scriptwriter, and that's what you're aiming to be full-time, 24/7.
Yeah, it's funny that we talked about cosplay, because I cosplay as a director and screenwriter. I just go around telling people, oh, I make loads of films. I'm a genius. Spielberg ain't got nothing on me. Mm-hmm. No, I'm joking. Spielberg's got millions on me. He's so, so talented. But yeah, so yeah, I'm a filmmaker by accident, weirdly enough. I don't think I've ever told you. So, like, I got into filmmaking because when I was going from option at uni, I was actually going to do journalism. Because I was really into sort of like, because I read a lot of film magazines. So I was like, I'm gonna be a journalist for a film magazine. Mm. That's what I want to do. I want to be like a film critic.
Like Empire magazine.
Yeah, like Empire, like Total Film, like Sight and Sound, stuff like that. I was like, yeah, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was going to go to Roehampton University for journalism, but I stupidly, when I did my options, it was for the next year and not the year that I was supposed to go to uni. So it would have been a whole gap year. And so I was like, well, I have to, I got the offer and everything. So I was like, I have to sort of decline that. And I had to go through clearing. And through clearing, I got through to the University of West London, which was then called Thames Valley, TVU, Mandem. No, I'm joking. No TVU, Mandem. But yeah, so I go through clearing and they're like, huh, how about filmmaking? Yeah, and I was like, cool. I never really thought about doing it. I was like, oh, that's something I've never, ever be. Like, I'm not talented enough to do that. Why would I ever think of doing that? You know, I had a lot of ideas and sort of stuff that I wanted to make. And it was always in the back of my head. And it's always been something that I was into. But I just was like, it will never happen. It'll never happen. I'm just not that talented. So, but then something in my head was like, fuck it, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I said, okay, I'll go for this. Got on the course. First year, I was awful. I was so bad. Oh dear. There are short films that I made in that year that will never see the light of day because they are that bad. They're buried somewhere. And if anyone ever finds them, they will be dealt with. So, yeah. So first year goes, I'm like, wow, I was right. I'm not a filmmaker. This is terrible. But then second year comes around and the first half of that year was horrid. And then the second half of the year was better.
Mm.
And then my third year. Growth
period.
Yeah. And then my third year, I was like, no, there's something here. I kind of like this. I'm kind of enjoying it. Like, and it's funny because our final year project was a disaster. Like, the first day and the first 2 days were a disaster. Sound guy didn't show up. We had to go from Angel all the way to East Acton to get some sound equipment.
Fun.
Then go back. We were 6 hours behind with the shooting schedule.
6 hours?
Yeah.
You should have called it a day at that point, to be honest.
So, but we were just like, no, we paved this location. We're going to do this. We have to.
But all the lighting and everything was changed.
Oh, yeah. Yes, wow. It's bad. And then so we finally get around to doing it. And then it turns out, in the week or like a week after, we find out, yeah, none of that material is usable. None of it at all. But then we went back and did it, and like, but you know, the funny thing was, is that that day was a nightmare. It was like the first, like, I was there and I was like, I love this.
Oh, okay. So even in the tough times.
This has been a nightmare and awful, but I could do this forever, you know? I could see myself doing this forever because it was fun at the same time. It was weirdly fun. Like, you know, it's just like, we had to all problem solve and think on our feet. We didn't have like loads of money to sort of like do, so we had to sort of get creative to some extent, and that was actually kind of cool.
Yeah,
and I think it made us bond a bit better, and like because we were quite tight that group, so it's like pretty cool. But it was a good bonding experience. And when I started directing my own stuff, I was like, I really like this. I like the collaborative process. I like that it's, you know, I did it in my head that like I'd be calling the shots and everyone's kind of like that, but I realized that's not my style to some extent.
So, you're more teamwork, dream work vibes, right?
Yeah, like if I am wrong and my idea does not make sense, I'm not precious about it to the point where I'm like, no, we're going to do it my way. It's like, no, I'll hear you out and we'll try it. If I think your idea is good enough, or you know, if it intrigues me, then yeah, we'll go for it. I'm not precious about that. So yeah, that's pretty much where it is so far. And now it's just sort of like, well, what am I going to do next?
Okay.
Yeah.
So what? On the same, in the same sentence as that, what is an average day like for you, honestly? Like, when do you get a chance to be creative? I guess it's can be quite hard to find a moment.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because, I mean, in the last year or so, I didn't really get much of a chance to be that creative. I mean, I got a full-time job. I started back in November working for in a call centre, specifically for a housing company.
Don't say the name.
Yep, I won't say the name. Not
free advertising here.
Yep. No, I won't say the name. But yeah, so I did that because, you know, I had applied for loads of film jobs. Like, I was on Universal Credit, which That's a whole other story, but yeah, that's, yeah, it wasn't the greatest of times for me in 2017 back then. So I was on that, trying to applying for jobs pretty much every single day, not even getting a reply back or like an interview, and I just kept on
that's soul destroying.
Yeah, kept on applying and applying and applying and applying and applying and applying, applying for what seemed to, I think, like 10 straight months of just applying for jobs, and I got nothing. And then my mom's like, listen, I got this job opportunity, I know some people here, so you know, they're good people, it's a good, office environment. So I was like, fine, did the interview, got it. Weirdly enough, I got the confirmation call when I was in holiday, when I was on holiday in New York. And they woke me up at 5 o'clock in the morning to tell me, because the time difference is a bit strange. Like, yeah, you got it. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
Smooth,
and then the funny thing is, they asked me on the phone, so is that a yes? You want the job? And I was like, yeah, definitely. Sorry. It's just, yeah. And so it's funny because they actually, I spoke to the person who gave me that call, and they were like, they're just like, yeah, it was weird. It's like, you didn't seem like you were sure. And I was like, no, because I was like 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, oh, crap, okay. Yeah, so yeah, I did start in November, and it's been an interesting experience. It's both, I don't know, it's like it's the good and the bad of kind of like that, of having a full time job, 9 to 5 kind of thing.
The good, obviously. Payment.
Yeah. Oh, payday is just, oh, punch the air. Good. That's how much I love it. But the bad is it kind of consumes your life to some extent if you're not careful. And it's a stressful job. And especially being in the call center, it's a thankless one as well. You kind of get crapped on by everyone at all sorts of angles, nonstop. And but the fun part of it is I really like my team. I still really like my team. That's one of the biggest parts of why I've stayed for so long. And I'm pretty good at the job. But creative-wise, it just, I don't know. I stagnated a lot last year because it just, you know, it kind of became all-consuming. And
isn't it? Like, you get so tired. Like, 9 to 5, go home, eat, sleep, get up early, do it again.
Yeah. And it's funny because, weirdly, I saw the most films I ever saw that year.
How many was it? It was something ridiculous, wasn't it?
Yeah, 160. Yeah.
160.
160 new films in the cinema. Yeah, and I don't know. I generally don't know how I did it. I think I got to September and I was like, wow, I think I'm going to beat my record. And then I got to October and then I was like, okay, I've beaten my record. And then I was like, wow, okay, crap.
Well, that's awesome, though.
Yeah,
I mean, it's severely impressive amount of films. To watched in 365 days.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's basically like a third, right?
Yeah.
It is, right? I'm not particularly great at maths. Obviously creative over here.
Yeah. You hit me with that number real fast. I can't even do the math. I'm just like...
But I mean, with obviously you've seen 160 films just last year. So there's so many films out there and budding writers... like thousands of budding writers and everything. How do you keep yourself inspired and what keeps you writing? Like you watch so many films in a week, including things like Sharknado, everybody.
Quality. Art.
But, I mean, do they inspire you more than they set you back?
A bit of both, really, weirdly enough. Like, I'm inspired by almost every film I see, whether it's good or bad, because at the end of the day, making films are so... hard. And you know, making a good film is hard, making a great film is even harder, making something that's amazing and an instant classic is like, you know, it's like, you know, a gold rush kind of thing. It's like, you know, you found a diamond, you know, kind of thing. Just a random,
I found a diamond
kind of,
like that you found yourself or just on the side of the street?
Yeah, just on the side of the street. Like, it's a diamond, who knew? Yeah, like, oh, well, I'll tell my kids about that one day. But yeah, it's like, so whenever I see a film, I'm always inspired by that. It's like, you know, so many people, because I think to myself, wow, so many people worked hard on that. The writers, director, producer, everyone worked hard on that. And like, you know, and they all came together, and whether it may have been a tumultuous shoot, it may have taken them years, may have taken them 10 years, it may have been a very easy experience. It's like, it's always inspiring to see something come together like that and be as good as it is. And there are so many films that are so good.
Yeah.
And so that's inspiring. But at the same time, there are some films that I watch, I'm just like, wow, that was so, so good. And I so couldn't have ever seen myself doing that, that I'm actually just kind of mad.
I'm angry.
Like, I don't know. Like, I remember... I saw two films actually that kind of made me feel that way. Was Moonlight. Moonlight was one of them, because when I saw Moonlight, I was just like, man, it's damn near perfect.
No,
like it's just I don't know. It was like, to this day, I still can't really think of something that I would change about it. There's no bad thing about it. And I was like, oh, man, screw you, dude. Screw you. What the fuck? And funnily enough, last year, there was another film exactly like that as well. Something called 120 BPM.
I've heard of this.
Yeah, it's like set during the ACT UP movement in France. And it's about sort of like that group and sort of their fight for awareness of HIV and AIDS in the gay community and stuff like that. And
yeah.
Man, that film is incredible. It's actually amazing. Like there are moments in that I'm never going to forget. Like, holy shit. And I know that it's just such a powerful story, so well told. And I think it was like, I may be wrong on this, but I think it may have been his first film, which I'm just like, what?
Oh, okay.
How dare you've got no right.
It's, you know, creatives have the spark, don't they?
Yeah. And those films are like, oh man, shit. Like, could I do this? And then I think to myself, well, I don't know. It's always good to remember that, like, there are a lot of films that are going to be, you know, a lot of films feel like a lot of other films to some extent. Or like they're in the same genre, or they're talking about the same thing. Like road trip films are road trip films because, you know, there's a car, people in the film, people driving in this car to get to one place. It's about life, usually.
Yeah, but what like, is the Britney Spears one? Crossroads.
Yeah, Crossroads.
Yeah.
But you can only bring the experience that you have to that. So like the most unique thing you can bring to something is yourself.
Yeah.
Is your experiences, your own thoughts, your own feelings, how, you know, what you think about the worlds that you want to create, or sort of the stories you want to divulge and delve into. And so I think there's something really, you know, there's something I always remember, like, yeah. So like, I don't know, it's a bit hard, like.
It's quite hard to articulate.
Yeah, it's hard to articulate, but it's like, everyone's experience is unique.
Yep.
To some extent. So it's just life. And like, that's really, that's something that inspires me. That like, I've never seen my story or a version of myself on the big screen.
Okay.
The things entire that you time.
Can relate to, but not, it will never be exactly the same.
Yeah. So like, I just, and that gives me hope to some extent, because it's like, well, they've not made something that like I can 100% relate to. And yeah. I can imagine there are so many people who sort of feel the same way. And that's really something like, yeah, okay. And plus, you know, I just have a desire to want to make things. So it's like, you know, I couldn't see myself doing anything else is really what the whole gist of this is.
Well, that's the most important thing, surely.
Yeah.
But do you ever feel like there's a pressure or like a pretense in keeping standards high amongst your creative film industry peers? That do you think it affects your social life at all? Is there a hierarchy within? Because I don't know what it's like in the film industry as such.
I don't know. I think it's always the case of like, you're always told when you're younger and when you're even older, or when you're a teenager, stuff like that. Like, focus on yourself. Don't look to the other lane. Don't look at what's going on right beside you or what someone else is doing. But we live in a world where that's kind of, you know, a lot of social media is built on that idea of look at what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Or look at, you know, look at how good things are for me. And obviously that's a half truth, because you're not sharing every single thing that's happening in your life. Like, you're not sharing the mundane stuff. You're not sharing the boring stuff. You're not sharing the fact that like,
the highlights.
Yeah. Yes. Literally just the highlights.
Highlight reel.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, because no one's going to ever post anything like, you know, I watched YouTube for 12 hours today, ate 2 meals and went to bed. That was my day.
To be honest, I'd quite like to follow someone like that.
Yeah, true. That's just, you know,
it's relatable.
That's very true. It's very relatable. I'd be a fan of that person. Like, wow, he gets me. Wow, he really does. Well, she gets me.
So.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know, to answer your question, it's like, it's hard not to compare yourself to everyone else.
Yes.
And you kind of want to be like, I have stories to tell and I think I'm just as good as anyone else. But you've always got that self-doubt. Or at least for me, I've always got that self-doubt of like, what if I'm not good at this? What if I don't belong here? And it's funny, like, I go to a lot of film festivals and I go to a lot of sort of like preview screenings or screenings in general, and sometimes I see all these groups of friends sort of talking to each other and just like, you know, sort of like I see critics together and stuff, and I'm just like, wow, I don't belong here.
What makes you feel that way? Is it their attitude or your
it's never yourself? It's never really anything to do with anyone else. I would never blame anyone else for sort of those feelings. I think it's just always been something that I've dealt with to some extent of am I worthy enough to do this, be here, you know, be accepted to some extent. And I always think that's something that's been in the back of my head constantly throughout my life. And that's more a personal thing than it is like a professional thing. Because no one's sort of saying, oh yeah, this is how you, you know, this is...
You can never know what other people are thinking anyway.
No, no. And I think it's just, it's a confidence thing to some extent.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I think pretty much everybody feels that way. And if you don't have a little bit of that, then that's almost falls into being quite, what's the word? A little arrogant.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think
the difference between that and confidence.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, you don't ever want to go full blast into arrogance. I mean, like, just like, I mean, it could work for some people, and some people have made like successful careers out of it, but at the same time, it's just
Like, but have they made any friends?
Yeah. And it's just like, but it just seems like a bit of a miserable life. Just like, God, I have to think I'm the greatest all time.
Yeah. Tyrone.
Oh. No. Yeah. But, you know, like,
they would never watch Netflix for 12 hours straight, would they?
No.
Wouldn't give themselves the time to rest.
They'd never fallen upstairs. God. How could they? You know? They'd never fallen up the stairs 3 times as they were trying to regain the composure, fallen again and again, and you're thinking, oh, no one was watching, and you look up in the corner of your eyes like someone was watching, and you're just like, well, I'm going to smash this window and just jump through it, and you'll never see me again.
I hate to tell you, Wayne, I do think that your life is a film, and it might not be the horror film that you want. I think it's an American drama.
Oh, wow. Damn. One of the depressing ones as well, just like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's more of like anxiety-ridden horror film. Like, oh, well, you know.
But you got a good...
We missed a high five, and it's just, I think about it all day long. I'm just like, wow, that was the most painful thing in my life. I can't talk to this person ever again.
You do have a good supporting cast, though.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah,
true.
Well, you got me. So,
very good, yeah.
Way!
Yeah. Nominee for Best Supporting Actress.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Awesome. And then, to round up. Do you have, and obviously everyone's still on their own journey, but I think you can still help people, it doesn't matter what level you're at. Do you have any tips for anyone wanting to get started or push further into the film industry, or things you might advise them to do or not to do?
Yeah, I just want to say, I can't stress enough just how much it matters to be rich.
Facts are facts.
I mean, it's just going to get you so far in this industry. Just know someone who's in the film industry. Actually, just have a mom or a dad be very successful.
American.
Like an actor or an actress who's won Oscars.
Oh, imagine if Leonardo DiCaprio was your dad.
Oh.
It'd be a bit weird for me, to be honest. But carry on.
Got some dark places right there. But yeah, no. Oh, what?
Tips.
Okay, so being a filmmaker, I'm at the lowest level. I'm lower than micro budget. We are making films on literally nothing. A shoestring, too fancy for us. Like a piece of used tape, like some Scotch tape. You have to want it. You have to like really want to do this. You have to be like, you know, you have to ask yourself every day, can I see myself doing this for the rest of my life? Is this something I want to do more than anything else? And if the answer is like, maybe no, then reevaluate. Because this might not be for you, and that's fine. And maybe it's not for you now. And maybe in a couple of years' time, you'll be like, no, actually, this was for me. And you can always come back. Like, there's no, you know, like, I think sometimes for people, especially for me as well, and people who are young as well, it's like, you kind of worry about, I have to do everything right now, because I'm going to turn 30 soon and the clock is ticking. And if I don't do this now, I'm going to be unsuccessful. I'm going to die alone, you know. And people are like, wow, you did nothing with your life. But no, like so many actors, actresses, directors, filmmakers, you know, just the producers, you know, even musicians, stuff like that. Some of them don't see success until they're 30, 40, 50. It's
like Alan Rickman and Ricky Gervais. They hit them big time in their 30s, 40s, maybe 50s, somebody. I can't remember who.
Yeah, some people have not even made it, you know, not hit big until they're 50. Like, there's always time. And, like, as much as you think there's a need to rush, there is, you know, take your time and do the things you want, you genuinely want to do. Because if you get into a pattern of, oh, I should do this or I should do that, well, then you're just going to be unhappy. And you're not going to make the films that you should make. You're not going to make the films that are going to matter to you. And it will show in your products and you're not going to be happy with it. So just do it because you love it. Like, you know, if you do it because you want to be rich and successful and, like, have all the money in the world and have everyone love you, then, well, then, no. Like,
be an influencer.
Yeah, like,
oh, you know, that was a bit shady. Didn't mean.
Oh, damn. God, we out here now.
No.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, do it for the right reasons. Do it because you love it. And also, just get a good team around you, people who you trust and you care about and who may not have the same vision as you to some extent, but believe in what you want to do. They believe in you and you believe in them and you want to help each other out. That's very important as well. Like, surround yourself with people who, you know, yeah, trust in you, believe in you and want you to do the best that you can do.
They'll give you a pat on the back rather than a stab in the back. They're happy for you and your successes.
Yeah. And even when you're not successful and, you know, you're kind of broke and a bit sad and, like, you know, stuff like that, they're still there. Like, you know, they're still with you. There are people who I've known since I was in secondary school. They're still my good friends because I love them.
Yeah.
I love them and I know that they would do anything for me and I'd do anything for them. And, like, you know, they're my family, we're from my family. And my family's very supportive as well. So, like, I'm lucky on that sense. Like, I'm not rich. I'm not uberly successful. But I feel like I've got people around me who care about me.
Well,
and that's very important.
That's, to me, that is on its own a success. Because you can have all the money in the world. If you're not happy and you don't have people that love you, then, you know, is that really the life that you want to lead?
Yeah. And just do what you love. Do what you love.
And on that note, I would like to thank you for being the very first guest on my very first podcast.
Yeah.
I think we've had fun.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun.
I think you've been a divine guest.
I've never been described as divine, but thank you.
Is it a nice feeling? Yeah, I haven't either.
It's kind of nice. Kelly, you're divine.
Oh, it does feel good.
Yeah.
Okay, listeners, say that to someone today because it will make their day.
Yeah. But don't say it to, like, a stranger, because that's really weird.
It's quite,
like,
creepy.
I'd be like, if someone's, like, behind me whispering in my ear, yes, you're divine. I'm like, wow, I'm going to be murdered today.
I just think it was Dracula.
It's great.
You're divine. I want to suck your blood.
Damn. Dracula's out here, boy. Out here with these large words. It's like, well, okay, fair enough. Fair enough, Dracula.
Other than Dracula, I want to wish you all the courage and strength to keep pushing on. Because you do inspire me, even though you might not know it. And no doubt that you inspire others too. So thank you, Mr. Wayne Naylor.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And thank you for listening. I hope I've helped inspire those of you feeling a little lost or frustrated. And I will keep on driving the fact that you can do anything once you remove the comparisons and block out the bullies and keep grafting, because there's no right way to do life. There's no one. There's in respect to Wayne, there's no script to follow.
That's very true.
That was quite good, wasn't it?
I'm impressed.
Like, I was actually thinking the other day, who was it? I think it was maybe Dua Lipa. I found out that she's either 25 or 26, which is a few years younger than me. And I started getting really depressed about it. She's not even in my field. I don't want to be a singer. I can't sing. It's just a comparison thing. Going, oh, she's this age and she's this height of fame. I don't even want to be famous.
Yeah.
I mean, do you ever find yourself in weird situations like that?
You know, because I remember I saw something on, like, on Twitter the other day. It's like, oh, yeah, look at this four-year-old boy. He's a great drummer. I was like,
yes.
I can't watch
this.
He is
a good drummer, though.
I can't, because I can't be jealous of a four-year-old. I cannot. My life could not stoop that low.
But I do think it's just the pressure and the rush of the rat race playing tricks on your mind. So just try and remember to remove yourself from the situation when your mind starts to drift into the comparison chamber, and get on with you. Is that's quite good advice, right?
Yeah.
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 So I
you,
hope.
You know, do you, man? Do you? Do you?
So if you enjoyed the show, please do share it with those that you think might like or need it to. Yeah. And you can also follow us on Instagram at, and this is quite a mouthful, you might need a pencil, I'll wait. Okay, ready? You ready? At the kind underscore the creative underscore the chaotic.
Oh.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you have any stories or questions, do whack them over to me and I'll be sure to discuss or reply to you. Is that everything? Is there anything else we need to touch upon? No?
You know,
just say divine to somebody.
Yeah.
On the bus, please.
Drink loads of water. That's very important.
Keep hydrated. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's it for us. So ta-ta for now. Say bye, Rain.
Bye.
Bye.
Can you stop? Remember when I told you that I have an anxiety issue?